What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And we are doing new comic book reviews for you.
That's The Stack.
I got a little confused because we actually did a separate stack today for Batman number 50 and Catwoman
that
number 1.
That came out at midnight, though. That was a whole separate
day.
Yeah,
that was hours ago. That was hours ago. But you can check it out in the Comic Book Club feed. We have a separate extended episode just talking about those two issues. But we are going to talk about a bunch of other new comic books that are coming out today, including, you're ready for this, Captain America number 1, Death of Inhumans number 1, New Lieutenants of Metal number 1, Unnatural number 1, and Harbinger Wars 2 number 2. So you want to get right into it, Pete?
Yeah, we start with Cap.
We're starting with Cap. Big relaunch.
This big relaunch
for Captain America. This is coming from Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's been writing Black Panther for a while. The art is by Lanil Yu. Bursting at the seams right now, so I want to find out what you think, Pete.
Oh my God, what a fucking team on this. This makes a huge difference. This Captain America really felt like a powerful issue of Captain America. Like, having Ta-Nehisi Coates on this, and the art is just so fantastic. I love this team on this book. I thought this was a really powerful, especially after all the bullshit we went through with fucking Nazi Captain America and that whole fucking shit show. This was really good. This felt really good to read and to be a part of. I was so, so excited about this whole goddamn
issue. I'm curious, actually. Did you read this? Because I read this and I was like, well, he's still kind of a Nazi. Like, he believes...
Wait, what?
Like, it's sort of a subtext, I think, you can read throughout, is that he's still kind of Nazi Cap. That's my Cap. That's my real Cap.
Dude, what are you doing right now? Do you want me to punch you in the face?
It's like how when I'm reading Spider-Man, I'm like, there's still a little bit of Doc Ock in there. That's still, hopefully, fingers crossed, superior Spider-Man. Oh, or I read a Punisher book and I'm like...
No! Stop this.
Frankenstein monster.
Fucking asshole. Why?
Well, okay. All right. Let's actually talk about this. So we've had Mark Waid's run going for a little while since the whole Secret Empire crossover, which was dealing with a wandering Cap going all over America trying to find himself. Really beautiful. I love that run. I thought it was great.
Cool.
And then we took him to the far future. We saw a descendant of Caps, what happened to them, sort of the final Captain America story, how his legacy will always endure. And now we're getting him back in the present, back in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
It's picking up on the Free Comic Book Day story where he's fighting a bunch of nukes in Washington, D.C., and then dealing with the fallout of the fact that the world was taken over by Hydra.
Right.
I like that. I appreciate that, that they're not just dropping that storyline because that's an insane thing that happened.
Yeah. So I'm glad that we're back here and dealing with shit. I think that's an important issue that we got to fucking deal with.
I think this is probably too strong, but this might be the most relevant comic book coming out today.
Yeah.
Particularly to drop a book on July 4th about Captain America dealing with the fact that even if they beat the Nazis, it still changed us forever.
Yeah.
That feels pretty current, Pete.
What do you think about that? Yeah, and the fact that we have the writer that we have writing this, it's very powerful. And I'm glad that this issue is coming out right now because this is something that can touch everybody's lives and everybody's got an opinion on it. So, like, it's fucking real and you feel it. It sits in it in this issue. Like, it sits in it, which is great.
That's a good way of putting it. I'll tell you, it made me uncomfortable, but I think you're supposed to feel uncomfortable when you're reading it. Versus Mark Waid and Chris Samnee's Captain America felt like a warm blanket. It felt like, oh, this is cuddly.
That's what you need, though, after it.
Yeah.
Because you were like, oh, my God, this was so fucked up. They were like, here's a warm blanket. It's going to be okay, you know, and then now it's back to, okay, you got to deal with shit.
Yeah. Something that we talked about, please let me finish this.
Why?
In advance. Hold on. Something we talked about during the Secret Empire crossover and during Nick Spencer's run is how Captain America, in his ideal form, always represents America and where the soul of America is at. And this represents that fully. Whatever side you're on, whatever you believe, the conflict that's living in Captain America is the soul of America right now.
And we're conflicted like all hell. I mean, it is insane what's going on in this country, and Captain America is trying to deal with that.
And to that end, I didn't like reading this, but it was really well done, if that makes sense.
Well, that says a lot, you know.
Well, I'm saying because I read comic books to escape the outside world. I think this hit me harder. This hit me in a very similar way to how Secret Empire hit you.
Yeah.
Because I read Secret Empire and I was like, well, there's, or at least the Hail Hydra twist at the end of Captain America 1. And I was like, it's comic books. They'll figure it out. He's going to come back someday.
This doesn't feel like comic books. This feels
real. So it's not a gentle escape from the outside world. It feels real. Part of it takes place in Russia with forces taking over Russia and evil forces that eat people from the inside out. It's pretty upsetting, Pete.
Yeah. Yeah.
But extremely well done. Lineal Yu's art is gorgeous as always.
Oh, man.
I mean, obviously pick this up, but don't expect it to be like, yeah, fuck yeah, America. Woo!
This is a unbelievable issue, and the art and the pages are just so purposely, powerfully done. I just think this is an amazing comic.
It also feels like during a time when a lot of people are saying, I don't know how much I feel like celebrating July 4th.
Yeah.
To drop this comic book on July 4th feels very prescient.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to an Image comic book, The New Lieutenants of Metal, number one, written by Joe Casey. This is basically about a bunch of metal dudes fighting giant robots in the city, and it's awesome.
Well, I don't know, like, all right, first off.
Wait, hold on. Awesome. Disagree or agree?
I agree that it's awesome.
Yeah.
But.
Do-do-do-do.
But I just, like, I'm metaled out right now. Like, just having gone through the whole Batman metal and all that shit, if this book would have came out before that or, like, a year or two after Batman metal, I would have been so much more into it. But right now, I'm like, I've seen these jokes. I've seen this kind of thing.
Sure. Can I? I'll just throw out to you.
Sure.
You know what the most metal thing possible is? More metal.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So the art.
You got to crank it up to 11.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Does it go up that high?
Yeah, it does.
Sweet. So this actually reminded me a little bit, even though it's totally different. It reminded me more of black metal than Dark Knight's metal. I don't know if you guys listening out there read this graphic novel series back in the day. By back in the day, I mean like 5 years ago. It's delightful. This is the same sort of thing where it's so over the top and everything is so ridiculous.
What's cool is the cartoony of it and the art makes it more enjoyable because it's not like the Batman metal where it's like, okay, metal, rip your face off. It's more fun metal because of a cartoonish nature.
It reminded me a little bit, I don't know if this is exactly right, but it reminded me of a mix between Headlopper and Steven Universe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun. If you're not sick of metal, if you're not tired after Dark Knight's metal and everything else, I would definitely recommend picking it up.
It is really, really fun. And couple of the double spread pages. It's just so fun.
I'll spoil one joke. This is my absolute favorite joke. So after the intro where we meet one of the main characters, they immediately get to an enormous two-page spread, and then that's followed by a two-page spread of the title. And then later on, they have the title again, again on a two-page spread. And it's just so unnecessarily over the top to have four pages of a, like, 20-some-page comic filled up with the title of the issue. But that feels so metal of just, like, shouting your name constantly. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot. All right, let's move on to Valiant Comic Harbinger Wars 2, number 2. Now, we were pretty high on both the Prelude issue, which we loved, and the first issue of this crossover between all the characters in the Valiant universe. The idea of the book, as you could probably tell from the title, is The Psyots, who are basically the mutants of the Valiant universe, are under attack once again. There's a bunch of forces that are aligned with them. There's a bunch of forces that are against them. All of the heroes are split between each other. The good guys are kind of led by Livewire, who's one of the most powerful Psyots. And the other good guys include Ninjak and Ninja K, I guess now, Exo Manowar, and a bunch of others. What did you think about this issue? How did it follow up on the first one?
So I really loved the first two. This one, to me, wasn't as enjoyable because everybody was kind of in this. I was really liking the pace that they set this up, where it was kind of like dealing with one character at a time a little bit, where this just felt, it felt like a big crossover event because everybody was in this comic a little bit. And it was harder because I really was in love with the first two issues, and this was a different step. So I was kind of less in love with it, but I still think this is a really cool event.
I agree with you. It's very much a middle issue. There's a lot of stuff going on here, and a lot of things that are being introduced. There's some random pages that don't quite connect to the main action yet. Yeah. Then there's a big reveal at the end that I don't want to spoil. If you've been following the Valiant universe, it's a big deal. If you haven't, you have no idea what's going on that last page. So it's less... it's less standalone than the first two issues, yeah. I think. But very cool moments. There's a very cool moment with Bloodshot in particular that is a lot of fun. He gets a brand new power that's super gross, so definitely check that out. Whatever it is, Valiant does good quality stuff, and I enjoy reading it regardless of what it is.
Wow.
All right, let's move on to another Image comic that I'm sure my good friend Pete LePage loved. I was reading this entire issue and thinking, you know who's going to love this and talk about this in a calm and normal manner is my good friend Pete LePage. This is Image Comics Unnatural number one. Now, the idea of this book is this takes place in an alternate reality.
You love giving me this book to read. You purposely spent time going, no, I don't want to talk about this book. What's going to really fuck with
no,
Pete?
No, I got to be honest with you. I generally, when we're picking stuff for the stack, I try to aim for new number ones, because I feel like these are fresh new worlds. We got to find out about them. We got to let you know, should you venture into them or not?
Right.
That's maybe a little more interesting than going to like issue 35 of something that we've been talking about for 35 months in a row. So I had no idea what it was until sure. I opened up 100%. I swear to God. The idea is it's another world where there's a bunch of different animal species and they're forbidden from mating or dating each other. But instead, when they reach age 25, they're immediately paired with somebody else of the same species, no matter what. One of the people in this world ends up having these dreams. She's a pig of a
wolf.
It's Miss
Piggy. It's a naughty Miss Piggy.
Sure, fair enough. And she has dreams of a wolf of a sexual nature and doesn't understand what's going on there. Meanwhile, she has a job at a club that she doesn't really like. And that's pretty much the issue. Now, one other thing of background that you should probably know, in case you have a guess based on the description, it's very adult. There's straight up nudity in the book. There's sexual situations. This is actually an Italian comic that is being republished here in English for the first time. If you know anything about European comics, they're generally a little freer with nudity and sexual content. Here's what I'll say. This is my review of the book. If you're a furry, you're going to love this book.
If you're a furry, you already know about this
book. If you're a furry, you are a character in this book.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, what did you think of this, though, Pete? I'm a little scared to ask.
What do you think? Well, I mean, it's hard to like this book. And what I mean by that is this woman is being sexually assaulted at work. She's being told what to do, what to think, who she has to marry. So it's a hard issue to like because you want to pull for this main character, but she is in a really tough spot. She's having these sexual dreams, and then she gets to work, and she's getting harassed, and then she finds out in an email, like, hey, by the way, you got to marry fucking Prince Humperdinck over here. So that's like...
it's, great Shrek reference.
Thank you. So that's just... yeah, that's it's a hard issue because it's like, what are we supposed to like? I mean, the artwork is great if you're into like anime porn. So if you're that, you might like that part. But it's like, I mean, we got to root for her to fight all this bullshit so she can be with her wolf cock.
Jesus, Pete. I definitely. Here's what I'll say.
Good.
I ended up liking this a lot more than I thought I would at the beginning.
I knew by page one that you loved this book.
No, but the reason is not necessarily the reasons you think. I was actually kind of turned off by the sexual content. I was not expecting that. I did think like, oh, this is some sort of porn that I'm not quite into. What is going on with this? But as you get into the book, it starts building out this world and talking about, they have a little educational video in the middle where they talk about how you're only allowed to date your own species. You're not allowed to date same sex. And that was the turning point for me, that I felt like there actually is a lot to say in this book about finding who you love and not being assigned to somebody just because they look like you or are the opposite gender from you. I mean, there is a lot of sexual content, but there was that heart there, that idea there that came through. And if that does come through in the 11 issues of the book, I think that's a really interesting and important idea to put out there.
Sure, sure.
You agree with me completely?
No, I agree with what you're saying about that. It is an important idea.
You're a big fan of furry porn now?
No.
If you have any furry porn that you would like to send to Pete, just hit us up at please don't do this. I'm not even going to continue. But actually, this book is kind of good. Definitely don't read it in public on the subway. If you're in an open office plan, don't read it at work. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But let's kick off with our last book, Death of Inhumans, number one from Marvel Comics. This is by Donnie Cates, art by Ariel Olivetti, who I'm definitely pronouncing wrong. I'm sorry very much. A bunch of Inhumans die this issue. I think we're probably going to spoil some stuff. I would like to spoil some stuff. We'll talk about it in a moment. But the idea of this book is that the Kree, the alien race, created the Inhumans. Inhumans, in case you don't know, aren't just the Inhumans that we know and love, Black Bolt and Medusa, etc. Those are just the ones on Earth. There's a bunch of other alien races that were Inhumans. This was introduced through, I believe, Jonathan Hickman introduced this in his Fantastic Four run. And here we're exploring that idea that centuries later, the Kree are coming back and cleaning up their mechs. And they're like, nope, no Inhumans. Let's just get rid of all of them. And the our Inhumans go to a meeting with the other Inhumans to find out what's going on, what's wrong, and things go horribly wrong from there. Pete, you seem bereft right now. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, great vocab word there. It was heartbreaking when he walked into that meeting because he had such high hopes for the meeting and what was going to go on, and it was just, I love the Inhumans comic book. The TV show is a shit, but this to me is like, when Inhumans are done right, it can be really powerful and really awesome and really cool. And I think this is an example of that. This is a really solid issue. I love this arc. I love the idea of what's going on. I mean, they're really pinned against it here. And I'm going to lose my shit if fucking Lockjaw is dead, because I can't handle that.
Can we talk about this?
Yes.
So there is a new character that's introduced called Vox. He has some sort of power, seems to be unstoppable. At the very least, we know that he seems to shoot this like pinpoint laser beam from his mouth. It seems to be a parallel to Black Bolt's powers. Black Bolt, he has a very similar costume to Black Bolt, except in red. And the Inhumans are all the way on the other side of the universe dealing with a bomb. Medusa gets hurt. They head back. While they're heading back, Maximus, who is Black Bolt's mad brother, attacks this guy, Vox. They fight back and forth. They get close enough that Lockjaw ports over to save Maximus. Instead, they decide to take on Vox. This is a huge spoiler, guys. Vox shoots his mouth beams and disintegrates Maximus and Lockjaw. They're dead.
Fuck you.
They're dead.
They are not dead.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Pete, your dog is dead.
Don't. Lockjaw is the best, man. Don't you take Lockjaw away from me.
Well, I'll tell you, this is spoiling a big thing, but next issue we find out that Lockjaw went to a farm in Connecticut.
Okay.
There's a new family that's going to take care of him.
Good.
He's doing really well. Okay? He's doing fine, Pete.
Good, because I can't deal
No, I lost my shit.
Dude, fuck that. Dude, man, that
fuck you, Johnny Cates. Fuck you. You used to come to our show, now fuck you.
Yeah, I agree, man. If that's fucking real, fuck you, man. There's some things you can't do, and you can't fucking kill Lockjaw.
Well, okay, here's what I want to talk about, because I get that the title is Death of Inhumans. I'm sure there's some stuff going on behind the scenes with Inhumans and X-Men, and there's been this swing back and forth where it's like, let's kill all the X-Men. Now let's kill all the Inhumans. Now let's kill the X-Men. Now let's kill the Inhumans. There's an arc coming up called Extinction.
I think Marvel's just spinning a wheel in their office going, who are we killing?
I don't think it's that. I do think, ultimately, there is a good story to tell here that has been set up by Jonathan Hickman back in the day. They're following up on that, so I forgive that part. The thing that upsets me is I'm never a huge fan of killing characters at all in comics. Right. Because even if you're going to bring them back, you always have to do these mental gymnastics to bring back the characters versus you can hurt them, but if you hurt them, they can build themselves back up again.
Yeah.
Something I always think about is Fall of the Mutants, which granted, a lot of people died during that storyline and a lot of Morlocks were killed. If you didn't read it back in the day, no, I'm sorry, not Fall of the Mutants. I meant Mutant Massacre. Mutant Massacre, the Marauders, a team of evil mutants led by Mr. Sinister, went through the subway tunnels of New York, ended up killing a ton of mutants, and a bunch of X-Men got horribly hurt. At the end of that, Nightcrawler had trouble teleporting. Kitty Pryde was permanently phased. Colossus was hurt and really could not power up or power down properly at all. People were down and out, and you saw the repercussions of that for years afterwards. That, to me, is how you should treat ongoing comic book characters. You give them this a challenge so that eventually they get out of it. Yep. If they die, they're dead. At least until somebody, like, I think there's a difference between, say, Doctor Strange dies and his soul goes to hell, and then he has to fight his way out of hell. When you have a character that's that in that frame, that's a different thing. Yep. But for characters like the Inhumans that are science-based instead of magic-based, if you kill them, I feel like they have to stay dead. I know that doesn't happen in comic books. I know there is a revolving door, but I think you should come up with other ways of harming them, of giving them challenges than pure death. Because right now, sure, Lockjaw could have teleported them away at the last second, and maybe that'll be the twist, but Lockjaw is dead. And unless there's a bunch of other Lockjaw babies crawling around, mind you, from the Lockjaw series that just came out from the great Daniel Kibblesmith, but that's kind of annoying, I think.
Yeah. I was super pissed, but I also really like this villain. I think it's a great villain, but man, really powerful. I thought it was a powerful issue. I really hope that Lockjaw is not dead, man. I can't. There's only so much you can
take. I want to be clear. There is great writing and great art here, and I don't fault the issue necessarily for going in the direction it did. For God's sake, it's called Death of the Humans, so they're going to kill the Inhumans at the end of it. That's just what's going to happen, and I've accepted that. I'm more talking about the greater span of, personally, how I think they should treat comic book characters, which they don't, and it constantly disappoints me, but that's okay. In this issue, though, Black Bolt is great. Donny Cates writes a great Black Bolt.
Yeah.
The use of his powers is awesome.
Black Bolt is such an amazing character, and when done well, I mean, the fact that he can't talk, when he does, it's so powerful. It's such a cool thing that I think when done right in comic books, it's really well done.
Absolutely. All right, guys, if you like our show and would like to support it, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York. That's totally free. Please come on by and tell your friends. We should also mention we have a bunch of new Patreon rewards for you guys, including if you pledge as low as $2 a month, you can get access to our entire back archives. That is years and years and weeks of shows. It's hundreds of shows just for you guys on Patreon. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the live guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter @ComicBookLive. Check out the website, comicbookclublive.com, for podcasts and more. And we'll see you at the comic book shop.
Oh, yeah.